Some of you may recall the TV show, Ripley's Believe It or Not, where these extraordinary stories were told almost beyond belief that they could have taken place. And one story that I recall was from a gentleman in what is now formerly Yugoslavia. He was a judge in this town, and he was pretty well known. Well, he had a little incident in the bathtub with some electricity, was electrocuted, and fell to the floor seemingly and completely dead. His wife found his body sprawled out on the bathroom floor, called for help. Friends and neighbors, everyone showed up. But at the scene, he was pronounced dead. There was no indication of a noticeable heartbeat. And they took him to the local morgue, set him on slab for the night. And to his own amazement, he woke up. He wasn't completely dead, although they all thought he was. So he got up, grabbed something to clothe himself, and ran to the night watchman and announced he was alive. The night watchman ran off in terror. Then he ran to the phone, and he picked it up and called his wife. And he said, "Honey, it's me." And then he heard a thud. She fainted. So then he ran outside of the morgue and down the street to some of his friends. And more than one occasion, as he went door to door and opened up and said, "Hey, I'm alive." They slammed the door in his face, thinking it was some sort of sick joke. And then finally he found someone who didn't know, hadn't heard of his death, a few towns away, contacted him. And he said, "I need you to go to my wife and all my friends and tell them I'm really alive." And they did. And to everyone's great delight, the judge lived many more years. He was really alive. That they couldn't believe it. His own wife, the sound of his voice, fainted. And his friends slammed the door in his face, because they were so certain he was dead. Imagine what it would be like if you were to your own friends, your wife, your spouse, after something extraordinary as that, and they slam the door in your face. Imagine what it would be like if you rose from the dead and appeared to your dear friends who knew your voice, they knew your smell, and you appear to them and they think you're a ghost. This can't be. Imagine if that had happened after you had just told them, "I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise after 3 days." And then after being dead, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you rose and appeared to them. And they said, "This can't be. There's no way." Ah, that's what happened. We just heard in this gospel, the first Easter, that there's something even in the apostles, in our humanity, that can't quite grasp how extraordinary this Easter message is and tends to just move away from it and tends to do what our Easter lilies have done. Now that it's 2 weeks past Easter, have you seen them? They ain't looking so spry anymore. That we, like Easter lilies, begin to wilt and our humanity begins to fade away, move away from the extraordinary message of Easter, and that's a simple message like this: Jesus is alive and well, resurrected in glory and power, and standing right before us, right now. We just need the eyes of faith. And how did he reveal himself in the breaking of the bread? He said, "I'm right here." But there's something in us. It's something in the apostles, and I'm no different. And the further we get away from Easter, the more life returns to what it would be. And I got to now do yard work, and graduation's coming up, and I've got to take people to Rome, and life gets that's happening again, and all of a sudden, the Easter message doesn't live on in my heart like it did that Easter vigil when we broke open bottles of champagne because it was such good news that he's alive. So, let us not be like Easter lilies. and let our humanity, our fallen, broken humanity, wilt away from that extraordinary message. Jesus has come. His desire is for us to know that he's alive, really alive, and doing really well. To our unbelief, that's our call in Easter, to not be like the apostles. Although we understand them, we are like them, but to move against the tendency to think that somehow God is losing, that somehow Jesus is not alive, that somehow he has not conquered death and sin, and that somehow the devil's going to win. Because that message I hear a lot. This internal conviction that devil wins. Hell in a handbasket. Okay. We're going to move against that. And like Easter lilies, keep our eyes up, looking for Jesus who wants just to reveal himself and say, Jesus, you are alive. You have conquered sin in my life. You have conquered the world. You have conquered Satan. Now let's go and do what? What he did for those early apostles. He said, good, now you guys get it. And they were incredulous for joy. So they finally said, oh, it's got to be. It's got to be right. It's got to be real. It's got to be true. And he sent them out. And we're going to ask for that same gift. What he sent them out with was what we call crazy courage. They were so excited and so filled with the Holy Spirit that at Pentecost people thought they were drunk. They were so overjoyed, having interiorized the message that Jesus is so alive, so powerful, and so good, that they would go and tell everyone. And Jesus said this, here's your mission. Go and preach in my name, Jesus said. Everything must be in his name. The forgiveness of sins to everyone. That's our job. But when the Easter lilies wilt, we don't do that. But when the lilies are alive and smell wonderful, fragrant of sanctity and goodness, then we're called to go out. So this is what it looks like for you all. And I'm tragically serious here. We do have coffee and donuts after Mass, but you grab one, and whether it's this afternoon or maybe this evening, take your spouse out to eat, or sometime this week, and go up to a random table, okay? But first say, Jesus, okay, where should I go? And he'll point you in a direction, and go up to a table and say this. My priest told me to do this, so... But I just need you to know that Jesus is alive and that he's come for the forgiveness of sins, yours and mine. And I'm so convinced of this that I'm going to buy your beer. And then you can send me the bill. I'm serious. Not the whole meal. Just the wine or whatever. That's what crazy courage looks like. It's like, I have to say this to you. And I don't mean any offense, and you can leave it. But at least you're getting a free beer. That Jesus is alive. And he's come to forgive my sins, and he's done that and yours if you need it. And he wants you to know him if you don't already. And then at least they get a free beverage. That's crazy courage. That's what the apostles did. And we're just going to pray that our faith and the living God doesn't wilt as we move past and through Easter. And we're going to ask you, Jesus, for crazy courage, whenever, however, to just do what you've asked of us. Tell them, I'm alive. I'm here for the forgiveness of sins, the building up of my beloved humanity, the message of extraordinarily good news. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.